Hi everyone, and welcome to Tikkun for Torah number 945. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiismach@tikkunfortorah.org. So this week we read of Parshas Pekudeh. In Parshas Pekudeh we read of the accounting that Moshe does for all of the materials that he received in order to construct the Mishkan. The Mishkan, of course, as we learned in Parshas Truma, asked for a lot. There was a lot of different materials, a lot of gold and silver and precious metals, a lot of gems, a lot of stones, a lot of fabrics, a lot of dyes, a lot of things were required. So in the end, everybody's throwing it into some sort of pile, and everybody wants to know where did the money go. So specifically, the Medrash tells us that Moshe did this pikud, he did this accounting of everything, because there were people who suspected him of wrongdoing. Amar Moshe, Yodei ani sheYisrael rognim heim. Moshe, as the Medrash Tanchuma tells the story, he says, I know that the Jews could be, you know, somewhat critical. Harini osa lahem cheshbon mikol malachos ha-mishkan. So therefore I'm doing a cheshbon, an account of all the malachos. Hischa lasos cheshbon imahem ele pekudei ha-mishkan. And this was the cheshbon that he did. And therefore he did, v'hu nosan lahem cheshbon al kol dar v'dar l'zahav l'kesav l'nachoshes v'kesav pekudei ha-ida ma'as kikar elef v'shrameos. And he did specifically a particular amount of kesef, silver, and Medrash goes on to say that there was a discrepancy. And that discrepancy sort of freaked him out. He was nervous about the discrepancy. It was for 1,700-something shekel of kesef. And it turns out that it was found in the vavehem, these little hooks, these very small hooks that he had forgot to account for. That's a whole other drasha about why those hooks and why those things and why hooks are called vavs, and that's wonderful stuff, but not for now. And so from Moshe, we learn a couple of very interesting things. We learn that there's a responsibility for people to go and to be above board and above suspicion, particularly when it comes not only to their own affairs, but even more so when it comes to communal affairs. And so the Torah, when the Torah in halachic work discusses gabay tzedakah, haksherim ein medaktik an acharem. He says, if you have a gabay tzedakah, a person in charge of the tzedakah fund, you don't make them crazy. Mikol makom k'tei she'nikiyim me'ashem me'Yisrael, but so they can be clean, nikiyim, from God and from the Jewish people, tov lehem sheyitein cheshbon hatzdaka. It's better that they give the cheshbon of what the tzedakah went for, where all the money came in, where it went out. And that's what they should do. And he uses this expression, nikiyim me'Hashem u'me'Yisrael. That expression, to be clean from God and the Jewish people, actually comes from the story of Reuven and Gad, when they did not want to cross the Jordan, rather they wanted to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan. What happens is Moshe makes them guarantee that they're going to come and fight alongside the Jewish people in order to settle the land to the west side of the Jordan, and then and only then would they be able to return to their wives and their children in order to settle the eastern side of the Jordan, which they preferred. And there he uses the expression Nikiyim me'Hashem u'me'Yisrael, to be clean and above board with your relationship with God and the Jews, meaning you owe God your appreciation for Eretz Yisrael and you got to fight for it. You owe the Jews your fighting alongside them as brethren, and therefore, in order to fulfill those two obligations, to be nucky from those obligations, you have to make sure you follow the deal, you have to follow the condition. So that expression has become the way we refer to person being above board, fulfilling all of their obligations. And you notice that the obligation is dual. It's not just an obligation to God that we have to make sure we do the right thing. It's also an obligation that we have to make sure that people think that we're doing the right thing. So it's not only in regard to Bein Adam L'Chavero or Bein Adam L'Makom. Both still apply. We need people thinking that we're good vis-a-vis God. We need God thinking that we're vis-a-vis good through people. And so we have a lot of examples of where this comes up, where particularly in the communal arena, it was done in a way, everything was done in a way when it came to money, which was very transparent and very obvious to see. One of the most important examples is the Gemara in Yerushalmi, where it talks about how they would go into the lishka, the room where they would hide, you know, they would put all the coins, you know, so this is where I guess you could say, you know, you would dive in. The villain always dives into his room full of coins. I'm not sure how that would work, because you'd probably just smack your head. But okay, he dives into the coins and he comes to take them out in order to spend them on whatever communal affairs were required. So the Gemara says the guy who would go in would not be allowed to have any pockets, and he wouldn't be allowed to have any hems. He wouldn't have to, you know, his hair couldn't be up in a way where perhaps he could hide something. Why? Because what are we worried about? And this is really fascinating, this Gemara over here. So what are we worried about? So I'm sure you're probably assuming we're worried about the guy's going to go and get rich, and everybody's going to point to the fact that, oh no, it wasn't, you know, the startup that hit a pig. It was the fact that you went into the lishka, this room that held all the coins, and you took some out, you invested them, and you became rich. Or maybe you stole enough to become rich. Yeah, so that's not what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says, yeah, we are perhaps worried, Shema Yi Asher, maybe he will become wealthy, and people are going to say, Mitrumas HaLishka HaAsher, maybe they became wealthy because of what they stole. But there's another line. The first line is, Shema Yi Ani, maybe they will become poor, and they'll become poor. And so, if they become poor, so then what's the suspicion? Says the Yerushalmi, V'yomru, and people will say, Me'avon HaLishka HaAni. Maybe he became poor because of the sin of stealing, right? We're so crazy as people when we look at others. We're so crazy that not only if a person goes out of the lishka, takes his money, or maybe we're suspecting we'll take money and become rich, but even if the guy then goes and becomes poor, we're going to assume it's because he did something wrong. And yet still, we have to make sure that his behavior is so transparent that nobody suspects either of those things from happening in the first place. Oh, he became rich, he became poor. Oh, that has nothing to do with him going and taking the money, because we know that that would have been impossible. And so maybe even although, or in spite of, or because people can be so wild in their imagination and accusations, still we make sure that we avoid any and all of that in our behavior. Okay, so that is the Yerushalmi's few examples of this. And as I mentioned before, a lot of this has ramification for how we set up communal funds and Gabayim Tzedakah. I always quote one Mishnah over here when I talk about this, but I feel like we may have done this in the past, and I quoted this Mishnah, so I'm going to leave it out. It's the Mishnah in Yuma, where the Zakenim and the Kohen Gadol have a conversation, which nicely fleshes out both sides of this relationship. But here's another Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma talks about Ve'elu Lignai, talks about two families who were involved in communal institutions, specifically making the Ketores, and specifically making the Lechem Hapanim, the showbread and the spices that came with the service in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, and they did not teach anybody how to do it. It was sort of in the family. And so the Mishnah mentions, Elu Lignai, we have a, you know, sort of a bad memory of these people for having done that. Now, the question, though, is why are they Lignai? So they didn't want to teach. Why don't they want to teach? So they rationalized they didn't want to teach it because they were worried that these secrets would fall into the hands of idol worshippers, and idol worshippers are not supposed to go and copy our things. We didn't want them to use our methods of worship for their idols. Okay, so although it might be a noble idea, this was considered to be inappropriate. They had no proprietary ownership of this stuff. This was the type of thing that needed to be shared. But the Gemara does continue. In spite of the fact that they were remembered not so positively, in some ways they were remembered very positively. How so? Because the Gemara says they were also remembered l'shvach, in that the family that did the Ketores never had their children walking out sweet-smelling, meaning they never had them perfumed, and they never had them wearing cologne, and kind of in the olden days when people weren't yet showering, that was a methodology that would be pretty popular. And yet this family, in order to avoid suspicion of them dipping into the sweet-smelling spices of the Mishkan or of the Beis HaMikdash, they would not have anybody in their family wearing this type of stuff. So too, the family that dealt with the Lechem Hapanim, the showbread, they would never be eating from fine flour. They would never be using the same type of flour that would be used in the Beis HaMikdash, so as to make sure that they were above suspicion in all that they did. They did not have to worry about that. And so it's not surprising when we finally find these halachos about, listen, if a guy's kosher, you don't have the obligation to check into him. Maybe you even shouldn't. But he should report because of this idea of Nikim Mehashem Umi Yisrael. The Beis Yosef says, so where do we know this from? He says, Mikamakum Kteshay Nikim Yashem Yisrael Tovlahem Sheyitnu Cheshbon. He should give an accounting. What's his source? Pashut Hu. It's obvious. It's obvious. This is just what you need to do to live as a human being, living and watching how people behave and the things that people say. The Bach, coming back to the beginning, the Bach actually suggests that it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's because of Moshe Rabbeinu's example here in Parshas Pekudei, in Eilat Pekudei HaMishkan, that we have this requirement to go and to make sure we run our communal institutions this way. Now, by the way, the Rambam says that it's not just communal institutions, and there are obviously many examples of this that I could give, and we could do another 10 on this. But the Rambam says in his Maamar on Kiddush Hashem, where he speaks about sanctifying God's name, a person should make sure, and I'm translating, that you do not be involved in your business affairs to a degree where people tell bad stories about you, even though you didn't do anything wrong. Because even at that point, you've been mechalel Hashem. A person should be careful about people doing sins. The same way you're careful between what's between you and God, you should be worried about those things and how people think about your relationship between you and God. The same way, as God says, we should be clean before God and Hashem in either domains and in both. Have a great day.